We're going to continue our series this morning talking about the anointing. The anointing really just affects every area of our life. And what you begin to recognize, what you begin to focus on, will begin to manifest in your life. Oh, let me bring that back to you. What you put focus on, what you continue to focus, look on, confess, believe in your heart, see, you will find it everywhere. If you're looking for people to rip you off, if you're looking for people to be nasty to you, if you're looking for people to discriminate against you, you're going to find them everywhere. You're going to find them everywhere. If you're looking for people to mock you, you're going to find them. Can I tell you something? When I first moved here, oh, I got made fun of all the time, and I hated this so much. People would say, hey, say this word, say this word, say this word. But like, I'm not a parrot. I'm not just here for your entertainment to keep saying something that you find funny. I remember I was in Baraboo, and I was eating, I don't even know, some cafe. And the waitress was taking everybody's order, and when she got to me, I just opened my mouth and said the first thing, and she started swinging her arms side to side, kicking her legs up, and she says, yeehaw, look at me, I'm Southern too. And I just thought, man, you better be glad I'm, you know, from the South that has manners, because, you know, that's rude, and I might respond to you. And so I just looked at her and smiled and nodded, and then I continued with my order, and she goes, oh my God, you really speak like that. I'm like, yes, ma'am, I do. And she turned around, walked into the kitchen, opened the door shut. A few seconds later, laughter erupted out of the kitchen. The manager came out and told me, says, I am so sorry. She thought you were joking, she's not coming back out. She's so embarrassed that she is staying in the kitchen until you leave. And I said, well, then she's going to have to wait because I'm eating first. And then they threw in a free dessert. So I was thankful for that. But if you're looking for something, you're going to find it everywhere. You'll be seeing it in places that it's not even there. Oh, hello, somebody. You'll begin to see it in places that's not even there. And then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak. And then the mouth will begin to create things that wasn't there in the first place. Now, this works for the good and the bad. So if you want something good happening in your life, begin to focus on the promises of God that are in him, yes, and in him, amen. Your heart begins to believe it. Your spirit begins to line up with the word of God. Your mind begins to be renewed. And all of a sudden, you're beginning to speak it. And maybe all the other stuff was true. Maybe all the discrimination, all the problems, everything you faced was true. But then all of a sudden, you'll be reaching into eternity. You'll be reaching all the way up into heaven, bringing down favor, bringing down healing, demanding that it come down. Not que sera, sera, whatever will be, but we're speaking the word, having the word perform, not allowing the word of God to fall upon deaf ears, not allowing the word of God to fall upon ground and not grow. Amen. We're going to have the word manifest in our life. The anointing is there. I feel like all I have is scriptures to read to you this morning. One day we're just going to play the word of God, someone else reading it, and then just all shout. I mean, like, that's up, you know, just the word. We'll just, you know, they got Bible on CDs, MP3s, all that. We'll just play the word and then we'll shout. We'll have to find somebody charismatic reading. Now, because sometimes they read it, push you to sleep. And the Beatitudes and this and that. And sometimes I listen to it just to figure out how to say some of these names. It really works. It really works. And online, they have Bible. So I'll just play it. And then I'll be like, okay, I have to listen to that over and over till I get that correctly. And sometimes I listen to it 100 times and I still don't get it correctly. Now, we need the anointing of God. And the anointing of God has to have our faith. Oh, I'm so glad. For the anointing of God to flow in our life, anointing must have faith. But this is it. Are you ready for this? Sometimes we hear that and we try to work something up. We try to work up our own faith. Can I tell you something? My faith is not in me. My faith is not in my abilities to do everything perfect. My faith is not in my abilities to quote everything perfect. My faith is not in my abilities to do everything right. But my faith is in a faithful God. Because I'll come to the Lord and I'll say, I have no idea how you're going to do this, but I trust you, Lord. And let's just go ahead and let's deal with some things. A lot of times I think, and if I've ever done this to you, I apologize in advance. But I don't want to set anyone up for what seems to be like something's not working in their life. We have to allow the Word of God to interpret the Word of God. Hello? God gives grace. And sometimes we quote things and we don't finish it. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else for quoting the Word, taking the parts I really love, but I just expect that you know the rest of it. And sometimes we don't. Like, God gives grace. God's going to give you grace. Hallelujah. But what does the rest of the scripture say? God gives grace to the humble. So you got to humble yourself if you're going to have the grace of God. You can quote it all you want, but if you're in pride, if you're mean, if you're hateful, if you are just backstabbing Christian, we have so many of them. Not you. I'm not talking about you. We have so many of them in the body of Christ that will, the moment they disagree with you, they're going to chew you out. They'll cut you off. That you promise your rides, and then all of a sudden you tick them off and you don't get rides no more. They'll promise you that they'll be with you through thick and thin, and then all of a sudden you say something they don't agree with, and you are cut off from the body. That no longer are you welcome in their house. And you're like, what in the world happened? That's not humble. And then how do we expect to have grace operating in our life? And then we say this. I do. I love this scripture. I say it all the time. I like it. We shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I like that part. I love it. Why? Because it's the blood. You know, I was raised charismatic, Pentecostal. I was raised not denomination-wise, but you know, in the giftings, in the movies. And so I like that scripture. It's all about the blood of Jesus. And so we would get in on that. You shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and then the words of our testimony, and we cut it off. We cut it off, and we just think, because we're covered by the blood, and we testify that we shall overcome. But we shall overcome because of the blood of the Lamb, the words of our testimony, and not fearing our own life, even unto death. So in other words, we're going to walk in the Word of God because it's His Word. Not caring what our neighbor thinks about us. Not caring. Doesn't matter if the world is against it. If God is for it, that's what we're for. If God says it, we believe it, we walk in it. And so we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the words of our testimony, and not fearing mankind. Oh. But Pastor, they're not going to like me. Yeah, they're not. They're not. Because Jesus said they didn't like me. Guess what? They're not going to like you too. Because people will like you until you disagree with them. And I find that even is true in the church. Not in here. You know, the other churches. Not this church. But the other churches that we visited. Yeah, and so we found out that the moment they disagree with us, they'll cut you off. I was a part of denominations, and I had denominations tell me that when they, I had friends, and they're like, well, we're of this, I can't name their denomination, but they'll just say, well, we can't be friends because you go to that church, and we know what you believe. I'm like, well, you go to that church, and I know what you believe too, but I still like you. We could still hang out. We just disagree on this subject. We do agree that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I even had somebody tell me, well, you know, because you move in the spirit, that's the devil. And my pastor told me I can't hang out with people that is full of the devil. And I'm here like, well, first of all, ah. No, I'm just kidding. But it makes you want to just, ah. See, I think I have a great sense of humor. You may not like that sense of humor. But in this, I mean, like, look, we can disagree, but the body of Christ has a no disagreement policy. And I've had people tell me, Pastor, we're submitted. And I found out they were in agreement. Because the moment they disagreed, they cut and run. There's a difference between submission and being where you know you're supposed to be and then being in agreement. And I would rather have submission knowing you're here than agreement, because if you hang around me long enough, we're going to disagree about something. Way of barbecue. Because South Carolina, they're wrong. Kansas City is wrong. I ain't saying it's not good. I'm just saying they're wrong. It needs to be sweet barbecue. Not tangy and not mustard and not vinegar. But some people will cut you off over the simplest of things. That's ridiculous, but that's the way it is in the body of Christ. It's ridiculous. When we really get down to it, it's ridiculous why they separate themselves. I'm not saying that somebody from one denomination, they better believe what they believe. I believe what I believe, and I believe everybody else is mainly wrong. Now, I can be corrected. We always need to be learning. We always need to be learning. But I believe this because I do. And I believe they should believe what they believe because they do. Now, we should always be teachable. But why cut people off? Because can I tell you something? There were things I believed at one time that I read now, and I'm like, whoops. Oops, I was wrong. I was raised and I was taught some of doctrine from my church. And I just believed it was biblical. And then I started reading and I found out, that's weird. That's not what this says. Yeah. Somebody's wrong. Yeah. Even whole denominations even have a song. There used to be a song. He's like, somebody's wrong. I know the Bible is right and somebody's wrong. Y'all didn't sing those songs. All right. Oh, it's really good. You should hear it. You should hear it. I'm not going to sing it for you. But in all this, we cut people off over the simplest things. And we need to have a loving heart. And thank God when we were wrong, God didn't cut us off. Amen. Thank God when we believed something that was not correct, God did not cut us off. So we need we need faith in a faithful God to have the anointing flow in our life. Now, when I say faith, I want you to understand, I'm not talking about your faith and your ability to conjure something up. It's right whether you believe it or not. And so there's times in the Bible that we find, God, I believe, help my unbelief. And so there are times that I go before the Lord, I believe, now help me believe, Father. And I will tell him, I don't see how this could ever happen, but I know you have spoken, so I give it to you. And so I don't want to set you up for any downfalls or anything outside the will of God. And, I've heard such stupid stories. Let's just call them what they are. From other ministers, Kenneth Hagin, Dad Hagin. I said that correctly, right? Because when my accent one time, I was saying Dad Hagin. And people thought, someone came to me after service and said, why do you are so disrespectful to him? I'm like, what are you talking about? Because they heard Dad Hagin and he was passed away. And so they thought I was constantly saying the dead one. The one that died. The Dad Hagin. The dead one. I'm like, no! So sometimes my accent can get me in trouble. So Dad Hagin said that somebody came up to him and told him that his new Cadillac, that God told him to give it to them. Yeah. And Kenneth Hagin said, nope. And then just kept on going. And so there are people that are idiotic and they believe they're in the will of God. But God says, don't pray in a mist, all right? So we need to pray according to his will. Can I tell you something? I remember, I don't know how old I was when I went to France for a year, right? I knew I was not marrying, didn't take me long to realize I'm not marrying any French women. I'm sorry, that's probably not a good idea to throw the whole country in one basket. But I just knew, not going to happen, at least with the ones I was around. And it was hard to find Christians because they say 2% of France was Christians. And so I thought, I may live the rest of my life in France. And so I remember praying to the Lord and said, God, I had a desire to be married. I had a desire to have kids. But it may never happen. And so I give that desire to you. And if that desire is your desire, then I'm not looking anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just going to give it to you. And I will accept the fact that I may never be married and I may never have kids. But I'll tell you what I will do. Every child in the church will be my kid and I'll love them like they were mine. Maybe that was it. Maybe I just misinterpreted a desire that I had. I don't know. And so I prayed that, believed that, came back to America, saw somebody. The anointing fell. Yes, Lord. And today, you know, this year, 10 years and two beautiful children. Thank you. I'm very thankful, but there's some things that we take as God has spoken, and it's a desire of our heart. And I don't want anyone to get a desire in their heart and believe something and then turn their back on God if it doesn't happen the way they think it should. How many times has God put a desire in your heart and then it manifested in a way that you never even imagined that it would? I mean, it's amazing. And then we have people who have true desires from God. They are from the Lord. And they get so stressed out about them coming to pass that they're the very stumbling block from not it coming to pass. because stress is a killer. We were never meant to have stress. So our faith is not in our ability to have something come to pass, but our faith in a faithful God. And so let's give our dreams and our desires over to the Lord and trust that He will watch over them. He will bring them to pass. And if we need to do something, we'll work toward that goal. We'll do what common sense tells us to do. But then we'll just trust God. If there's something needs to happen, He will let us know. All right. So I'm glad you hear my heart on that. And so I'm going to quote Scripture today, but let's let Scripture interpret Scripture. And so let's not take things out of context and cherry pick things and make them mean something that they never meant, didn't mean. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the words of our testimony. We should be doing, having the blood of the Lamb, and we should be testifying. But we should get to a place where we don't fear mankind. I don't fear backlash, because there's going to be some backlash. There's going to be backlash from the secular world when you stand up and say, Jesus is the only way. When you stand up and say, this is the will of God, there will be backlash. We already have presidential candidates saying that those churches that don't believe what we believe, their tax rights should be taken away from them. Take it! Our God shall supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Take it! Do whatever you want, but we will still be the church. What if it doesn't happen exactly like I think? I've heard people tell me, if this does not happen, I'm leaving the church. I'm not just the church, but God, I'm leaving Him. Because if God loves me, He'll do this. Well, God loved you. He died on the cross. So let's serve God no matter what it looks like. Because I can tell you something, if you're saying I'm believing for victory and victory is not coming, then your definition of victory is either wrong or it's not over yet. Amen. I'm in this for the long haul. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm going to tell you something. I believe God's going to manifest, blow up, blow out, blow in, grow it and cut it off, trim it up, make it look all nice. I believe the church is going to grow. But I'm telling you this, if I don't see it in my lifetime, I'm in it for the long haul. The next generation will do better than what I could do. It's a progression, but I'm believing to see it now. I'm believing to see disciples now. I'm believing to see people lay hands on the sick and they recover. I'm believing to see people take the word of God from this church, from this place, and go into our communities and change things. Become on school board and change our schools. Open businesses. I believe God is anointing people in this place to see the miraculous. Well, what if it doesn't look like what I think it should look like? Don't really care. Just want to see it. And I am going to go all the way. I will not quit. I will not give up. And if it doesn't look like I'm victorious, then I'm going to ask the Lord if I need to change. My heart is always, I'm always asking, Father, what do we need to do different? Am I doing something outside? Isn't it interesting? I find that in the body of Christ, the ones that are prideful, the ones that are mean, the ones that are hateful, I don't think they ever ask that question. They're always right, and they're going to tell you why you were wrong. But then, let's go back to biblical David, King David, who was outside the city, and some old dude was mocking him and saying, look at you, let's just slurs, cuss words, just let it rip. And one of David's mighty men said, King David, let me go cut his head off for you. Would you like it on a platter? Would you like me to just hold it up by the head? What you want me to do? And David said, no. David said, if God wants me in the city, He will put me back in the city. But it's important, because see, he had the Ark of the Covenant. It's important that the Ark goes back into the city. And if God wants me in this place, He will put me back in the place. If He doesn't, then so be it. And this is what he said. The fool, he didn't call him a fool, but he said, maybe there's some truth to what the man is saying. And with time, we will find out. That's the heart of a servant. That is the heart to listen and say, is there something wrong that I need to change? But the heart of the prideful will say, you know what? Go cut his head off. hold it up, put it on stick, put it here, and let's build an altar around it and let it be a word to everybody else. Touch not my anointing and do my prophets no harm. They'll quote the word and doing the work of the enemy. Let that not be your heart. Let that not be your heart. You are anointed, and on the inside of you is the Spirit of God. Oh, my goodness. Y'all found Ecclesiastes? Nope, because I didn't tell you to go there. Anybody pick it up by the Spirit? All right. Oh, hands up everywhere. I see that. That was for the podcast. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 4. Then we're going to jump to Psalms chapter. I wrote down chapter 8 and verse 4. Is that possible? Let's find out. Ecclesiastes 8 and 4. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Is that what it says? Okay, just making sure I wrote it down. You'll go to Psalms chapter 8. I'm going to read to you Job 22 and 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. Psalms 8 and 4. Are y'all there? Oh, my goodness. Come on. Y'all are on devices. This should be quicker. Psalms 8 and verse 4. I have to ask you this question. And by the way, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. Or maybe the Living Bible. I didn't write it down. Just look it up and find it. Yes, I said 8 and verse 4, which I could have messed up on. I don't know. Don't point it out in front of everybody. I don't go to your house and tell you where you're wrong. No, just kidding. Sorry, this makes me happy. I have to ask you a question. Compared to all this cosmic glory, why would you bother with puny mortal man to be infallible with kings and queens, the glory and the magnificence? Verse 6, you have delighted to them the mysteries over all you have made and created order in every living thing of the earth, sky, and sea, the wildest of beasts and all the sea creatures. Everything is in submission to Adam's son. The Lord, your name is so great and so powerful. People everywhere see your majesty. What glory streams from the heavens, filling the earth with the frames of your name. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. I'm not waiting for you. You take too long. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ. Revelation. I told you, I just felt like I'm just reading scriptures to you. Revelations 1 and 6. And hath made us kings and priests. God has made you kings and priests. He also said when a king speaks, there is power. So God in all eternity had plans to make his sons and daughters kings and priests in this earth. He says, I've given you everything in the earth under your authority. Now, the earth is messed up. Okay. The earth is messed up. And, you know, I had someone, one time they were, when we first moved in our house, there was we hired some painters. Now, they were a Christian company, but not all the employees were Christian. There was one that was a Christian, and there was another one who knew I was a pastor, and they were painting, and he challenged me several times. And I could see that he wanted to challenge me more, but he also understood that he was working and all this. And so there was one time that he was asking me, he says, if God is good, this was his last day, so I think he thought he could let it rip. He said, if God is good, and he's the God you say he is, then why are there bad things happening in the earth? Why are people dying? This is not an open question. We already had an open mic. We're done. And so, in this, I remember responding to him. I said, what if? I said, I just want to put this out there for your thought. What if when God created the earth, he put Adam and Eve on here, everything was perfect. The world was perfect. Animals were in submission. The world acted the way it should have been. There was a layer of water in the sky. So even the scientists will tell you that there was a thick layer of water in the sky. And that thick layer of water even filtered out because man was naked. And that thick layer of water filtered out all the bad rays that causes cancer. And that maybe that was why man lived for hundreds of years until the day of Noah and the water fell. And then all of a sudden the sun was able to penetrate and hit us like it never should have been able to. And maybe, just maybe, the earth remembers what it was like to be perfect. Maybe the rocks, the mountains, the trees remember what it was like when God first created them. And the whole earth is moaning in childbirth, in pain, in suffering, waiting for its Savior to return and return the world back to its original design. And I just remember he looked at me and said, "I've never thought of it that way." He says, "But it makes me think." I said, "Well, it should make you think." And so the world is jacked up. The world is messed up. And we are to bring in God's kingdom into this earth. Philippians 2 and 5, write it down. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You are carriers of the anointing." I like this. John G. Lake, he used to wake up in the mornings. He would look in the mirror, and I wrote it down because I wanted to get it exactly how he said it. He would point at himself and say, he would look in the mirror, point at himself and say, "God lives in that man." What was he doing? He was renewing his mind. And I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be times you're going to have to talk to yourself. There's going to be times you're going to have to look at your house, look at your property, look at your bank account, and you're going to have to talk to it. You're going to have to tell everything. You're going to have to even, there will be times that maybe even you're addicted to a habit that you have in your life, and you're going to have to speak to that habit the moment you're even doing what you hate. And you'll say, "This is not going to be a part of my life." You listen up. "You will not continue to operate in my life. You have no power in my life." And you may say, I've had people tell me, I told someone to do that. They said, "But I feel like an idiot because I'm doing it. I feel so condemned." And I'm like, I understand that. But you are speaking the life of God into that situation. And you're going to speak that until you're completely free, until your flesh comes in line with the word of God. But you keep pointing toward the anointing. You keep pointing toward the promises. "But I don't feel right." I didn't ask how you feel. I understand. Not feeling right. Not feeling like you want to get up. I understand that. But we do not discount God's word, and we keep it in our heart, and it comes out of our mouth. See, a lot of people will tell you to speak, 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 and I'm all for speaking. But they almost believe if you speak, you'll begin to believe. And I get that, but get the word on the inside of you. Allow the word to renew your heart, renew your mind, and then it will naturally flow out of your mouth. Let me tell you something I've been doing lately, and I don't, you know, I'm not pointing even and saying this is biblical. I'm not saying this is right, but my spirit, that is who I am, is it not? So I'd like to put this out there for your thought process. My spirit, if it's like God, which it is, it doesn't need to sleep. My spirit doesn't need to sleep. My spirit doesn't need, you know, the things that my flesh needs. So I, every night before I go to bed, I say, "Spirit, listen up. Turn your face toward God." All night long, you'll sing spiritual songs, psalms. You'll begin to turn yourself toward the Lord. So while I'm sleeping, you're going to be praising. Now look, that does not mean that it lets you off the hook during the day. Be like, "I'm taking care of it in my sleep, so I don't have to do it during the day." That's not what it does. But can I tell you something? I started this just as a, let's see what happens when I do this. And I can tell you, I've woke up several times singing. I woke up several times speaking in tongues. And even now, I have to ask Jesse, "Did you wake me up at night?" Because if I'm snoring, she'll kick. Not me, because we have a king and it's too far over. But she kicks the bed. Sometimes it jolts me. I'm like, "Yes, Lord." Or Jesse, was that you? I don't know. She told me lately, sometimes it's me and sometimes it's not. I'm like, well, I don't know which one it is. So stop waking me up. This is what's funny. This is just a side note into our conversations. She's like, well, you were snoring and I couldn't sleep. I said, well, I was. So who should probably get up and go sleep somewhere else? Apparently the answer is me. Apparently the answer is me. I should get up and go to the guest room. So God has made you kings. God has made you priests. And we'll have to take that by faith. Let me say that again. You're going to have to take that by faith. The fact that you walk on this earth and everything submits itself unto the will of God, you're going to have to take that by faith, because there'll be times that it doesn't look like what you think it should look like. But the beauty about God is he's not impatient. We may be, but God is not. If it doesn't look like what you think it should look like, we're not done yet. But it's been 15 years. I'm sorry. That, for lack of better terms, that sucks. But God spoke to Abraham. This is why I never want to be in Abraham's day. He spoke to him one time in 10 years. Gave him one word. And he didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside to lead and guide and direct him. And he kept on going. That blows me out of the water. We can't even get people to show up in American churches because it's too hot, too cold, too loud, too far away. And Abraham walked for over 10 years on one word. Didn't even have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. One word defied everything. Didn't say he was perfect. He actually made a lot of mistakes. But one word kept the man going. One word. Look at your neighbor and say, one word. One word would change your life. But you got a whole book of words. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the service, and not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Got to tell you something, my daughter, we were talking about tithing. And I asked her, she ain't here so I could use her as examples. I asked her, I said, have you been tithing? And she says, well, yes. I said, okay, I just want to make sure. Next time you get paid, because she does jobs, not just for us, for other people, she does jobs and she gets paid. I said, next time, let's both sit down and I'll write out my tithe and you write out your tithe and we'll do it together. And she goes, but Daddy, I'm saving up for a switch. I'm saving up for a switch. I'm like, I used to go get those for my daddy. Be like, I could get you one for free. She's like, I'm saving up for a switch. And I said, well, I understand that. And then she was asked questions like, well, how long do I have to tithe? I'm like, baby, till the day you die, honey. Till Jesus returns. It's what we do. Well, why? Because it pleases the Lord. It's what he has asked of us to do. It's faith in him that it goes against what our mind thinks we should do. It goes against everything that financial planners will tell you to do. It goes against all human wisdom. But we put our faith in the Lord and we do what is right. And I told her, I said, Lord blesses us. Lord causes increase to come into our life. But even if he didn't, it is good. It is acceptable. The Lord is a good God. And we would do what he says if there was nothing we got in return. And so we do this because he's good. And our faith is in him over our faith in our own understanding. Like one of the scriptures that were read this morning, I lean not into my own understanding. I acknowledge him in all my ways and he will direct my path. And so we have to stir ourselves up. 2 Timothy 2:1-6 says this, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on laying on of hands. And for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Let's read it out of the Passion Translation. I am writing to encourage you to fan into flames and kindling the fire of the spiritual gifts of God imparted to you when I laid hands upon you. For God will never give you a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. Okay, can I tell you something? You got gifts operating in your life. One, you're going to have to stir them up. Why? Because they will go cold. It, the promises of God will go cold if you don't stir them up. I got this little fan that will blow up a small little mattress, like a small little bed, because I don't want to do it myself. Have you ever tried to blow something up? It doesn't take long before you get lightheaded, like three times. Okay, I need to stop. And so when I go camping, I have this little cheat. It's about this tall, about this big around. And you open it up and it blows, and it'll get it close. I mean, then you got to do one or two to get it tight. Yeah. But you do it, it does most of the work. Yeah. Well, guess what I also do? When the fire gets low, I put some wood on there, and I just open it up and hold it there. And then it starts blowing those hot coals, and then it starts, the fire just jumps right back up. Instead of smoldering out, it blows and gets hotter. And I use it all the time. I love that. The gifts of God are going to have you recognize them. Going to have you recognize the gifts that are on the inside of you. You'll get to a place where it's, why do I even need to speak in the tongues? Why do I even need to speak in tongues of angels? Why do we even need to have this gift operating? I don't see the importance of this. Well, you used to.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Used to, couldn't live without it. Had to have it every day. Woke up in the morning. People, you know, would do all their stuff and you had to take a break, go into the closet at work and pray. Go back out to your car, shut the door, get yourself by yourself and begin to praise the Lord to stir up the gifts that are on the inside of you so you could put up with the nonsense that was all the way around you. But sometimes we allow the nonsense to just keep piling up on the gifts of God and it smothers it out. So stir yourself up. Open up your little cheat tool. Stick it in there. Let that wind begin to blow. Let that ember get hot and begin to walk in the gifts and callings of God again. Don't allow them to go cold. Paul tells us that they can. But when you have the gifts of God, I want to show you this. The Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, that'll be operating in your life. Love, that'll be operating in your life. And self-control, that'll be operating in your life. Some of you got that, some of you didn't, that's okay. But that, those three things, if you're gonna have the Spirit of God operating in your life, these three things should follow. If you don't have love, you don't have self-control, you don't have mighty power, and it'll take the power to have operating these other two things. If this is not operating in your life, you're only half operating on the Word of God. When you get saved, change comes. When you become a disciple, change comes. If it's not changing, if you've stayed the same, you're saved. Don't get me wrong. Salvation is there, but you cannot stay the same and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You cannot stay the same and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You can't think like you thought in the world. I'm not questioning your salvation, but I am questioning whether or not you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Pastor, you're judging. You're right. No. Somebody said no. No, you're right. I am judging. You can judge a tree by the fruit it bears. I'm not judging your heaven and hell issue. I'm not judging your heaven and hell. I've already told you. I'm not questioning your salvation. And where it says, don't judge, lest you be judged, that's what we're talking about. Heaven and hell issues. I'm not talking about your heaven and hell issue. But I've had people, never mind, let's keep going. So we got to stir ourselves up. Oh, I'm ending in at least another 45 minutes. Let's turn to Psalms 115. And then y'all go to Mark chapter 11, and I'll read one in between. But Psalms 115 and verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to his children of men, mankind. Now we said there are problems in this earth. Yeah. The earth is ours. Yeah. But there's problems in the earth. Where are y'all going? That's right. Y'all are going to Mark. I'm reading Psalms 82 and verse 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the fatherless. Do justice the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. And it sounds like being broke, busted, and disgusted is in the hands of the wicked. That's what it sounds like to me. And they know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Mark 11, 24. Y'all are there? Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. But we pray according to the will of God. And we give him our desires. And he gives us our desires. Our desires should come from him. There have been things that people have desired that are not of God. There are people who desire sin and it's not of God. And they could say, well, the Lord said he'll give me whatever I desire. And this is what I desire. Let me tell you something. If you desire weed, I'm not telling you the Lord's going to give you a weed dealer. Somebody said, it's just going to be legal anyway. But there have been people who desire things that are wrong. And if our desires are wrong, we got to line them up with the word of God.
Yes, that's true.
And we got to recognize sometimes the flesh desires something. And God will give us a promise. And sometimes we'll tell God how to do it. And we're pursuing how he's going to do it. Yeah. Instead of letting God be God. You know, me and my wife had this conversation not too long ago. In my beginning of my faith, I used to tell God how to do things. Yeah. I used to tell God how this is going to happen and call it faith. And it didn't take me long to figure out God was better at things than I was. He's better at being God than I'm better at being God. He does things in love when I would do things that were not in love. When, you know, I used to get angry with people. Not anymore. I'm free of that. No. Thank you. But my reaction has changed. My reaction has changed. My prayers for them have changed. My prayers have changed for them. And so I used to tell God how to take care of things. And then I would be surprised when God took care of them in a different way. How about let's let God be God? Quote his word. Believe his promises. But maybe he's promising you to get out of debt, set financially free, and you're believing God for 10 oil wells. So every time the word oil well comes up, you're looking, you're chasing them, you're trying to buy them, you're putting stock in them. And God never even said oil wells. That's just what your brain came up with. Let's just let God be God. Do everything you know to do, but let God be God. He's better at doing things than you are. And so let's pray. But pray according to his will. And then a lot of times where we get in trouble is when we interpret what we believe are, it's not really interpreting, where we just say what we want him to do and think that it's his will. All right. He gives us wisdom to fix problems. And it's going to take you faith. This is where I find my walk lately. Is that I have to have faith in the miracle working power. You know how you've had to have faith for healing. You've had to have faith for God to make a way where there seems to be no way. You had to have faith for God to intervene. And I find it's easier to believe God for miracles for my life. It's easier for me to believe that he's going to come in. There's a check in the mail, healing instantaneous, all this going to happen. It's easier for me to believe that than it is for me to believe that God will give me the idea and I will have the wisdom to fix it without the miracle. Because I know my thought process, my education, I know all this stuff, and that can limit us. And so I have to have faith that God will give me God ideas. That the idea that I will come upon will be from him, and I will have the wisdom, the ability to execute it at the moment I need it to happen. That people are going to come to me with problems, and I'm going to be able to speak the word of God, or just shut up and let God be God in the situation. Instead of focusing so much on a miracle or the wind blowing or the ground shaking or a check coming in, but that God would move through the still quiet and that God is enough on the inside of me. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. And every problem I face, he has the wisdom to answer it. My ears are open. The spirit of God lives on the inside of me. So if I need a God idea, he's there to bring it to me. And it might not be ground shaking. And it might be simple. But I have to have faith that God will bring me to that place. And that God will give me the answers. And that I have what it takes to do what he's calling me to do. That I don't have to have the ground shaking miracle. That in the day by day, he will lead, guide, and direct me into the place. Into the right place, that I'd walk in the path that he has set for me. And it's not going to be this earth-shattering moment. Not that we won't have those moments, but in the day-to-day that he'll give me the right steps to take. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little foxes that will also keep it healthy. It's the little decisions that will destroy it. It's the little decisions that keep it. And so sometimes we look at those little decisions and we don't believe that God is in it. And we're waiting so much for God to do something big that God is calling us to do these little steps. And we don't see God in the little because we're waiting to see God in the big. And so we got to have faith that God is going to lead us, guide us, and direct us. Don't undermine the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you got this. Some of us have been ripped off. Some of us have been ripped off and we didn't even know it. It's just, we were so blindly walking through. Some of us did the ripping off. Oh, help us, Jesus. You know, Genesis 31, God speaks and he says, I have seen all that Laban doth unto thee. He made a promise and he lied and he tricked. Most of us would have given up. And he worked 10 more years. It didn't happen the way anyone thought it would happen. But it happened. God watched over and he made sure the promise came to pass. Genesis 20 and verse 3 said, but God came unto Abimelech, that's Pee Wee Herman reference if you didn't know, in a dream by night, and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman that thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. And so something was happening that was ungodly. And there was enough fault to be put around. Verse 7. And now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. Whew. The Living Bible puts it this way in verse 15. Look my kingdom over. And this was the king speaking to Abraham. And choose the place where you want to live. The king told him, verse 16, and then he turned to Sarah. Look, he said, I have given your brother 1,000 silver pieces as damage for what I did to compensate for any embarrassment and to settle any claim against me regarding this matter. Now justice be done. Wow. I want to tell you something. God is the judge. And I'm telling you something. Some people in this place, you came in covenant with other people. You had things in your heart. God spoke to you, and y'all were both working for a goal. And somebody messed up. Somebody got out of the will of God. And God has watched over every promise that was given to you, every promise from the Lord, every covenant that was given to you, whether it was jobs, whether it was marriage, no matter what it was. Maybe you were the one at fault, maybe you were not. But God has kept record. And I am believing that we will see the judge of this world, the judge of right and wrong, the judge of righteous, bring things back into place. I'm not saying restoration of relationships. That may or may not happen. But what God will do is take your life. He will bless your life. Bring those promises to pass. He can take you right where you are and bring favor and bring blessing and bring increase to your life, a life that you never thought you could have. How do we win battles? We give it to the Lord. Whether we understand what's happening or whether we don't, we give it to the Lord. We trust Him and tell Him the battle is not ours, but it is the Lord. And God, you move. You bring justice. You take me to the place I am to stand, and I will stand. If it is here, I will be here. If it's at our church, I will be there. If it's over here, I will be there. Wherever it is, Lord, I will stand and I will not move. I will be faithful. It is your fight. I will hear from you and I will do what you tell me to do. And I'm telling you, as you give the fight to the Lord and let Him fight. Now, He'll tell you to do things. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're anything like me, you're going to want to do when a problem pops up. You're going to want to do in yourself. One of the hardest things as a pastor for me to hear is people to tell me the problem and me not try to get in there and fix it. Pastor, my light bill. Pastor. And I'm like, well, how much is that? Can we afford that? Can we? And that's where my mind immediately goes. What can we do? Where can we do this? And then I remember somebody telling me an amount, and they told me the amount that they need. I'm like, well, we can't be the answer for that ever. They're like, that's beyond my scope at this moment. That is beyond my scope. Mm-hmm. And the best thing I could do, sometimes you're going to be the answer. But sometimes you got to let them seek God and let them find the answer with Him. Because when He speaks, they're going to have to learn to listen. And it may be a hard place to be because everything in you wants to answer that problem. Everything in you wants to be that answer. But we have to remember God is the answer. And so when we give it to God, we don't pick it back up. I heard someone say this. I don't know who to credit for. But if we pray and then we take our problems with us when we're done praying, they said we didn't pray, we just complained. And so we've got to give it to God. I'm going to tell you the best thing that has happened in my Christian walk besides my salvation has been to tell God, I trust you, even though I have no idea what's happening here. Yeah. I don't know how this will ever work out, but I know you. And you are my rock. You are my answer. I really feel this by the Spirit of the Lord. You don't feel this way now. The Lord has already been mending your heart, but you were devastated and you felt ripped off. You felt there was promises, there were ideas, and there were plans. And it seemed like death happened to the plan. That it died, that it is buried, and that it can live no longer. I believe by the Spirit of the Lord, that plan is not dead. That plan is alive. It will come to pass. The person you thought it would come to pass with will not. It's not going to come to pass with them. It's not going to come to pass with the people you made promises with. It'll come to pass with new people. It'll come to pass because you trust the Lord. So again, going back to Scripture, lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways, and it is Him who will direct your path. When you leave this place, I feel this burning on the inside of me. You have hope. Grab on to that hope. Hold on to that hope. That promise from the Lord is your promise. But stop trying to make it happen on your own. Give it to the Lord. Let Him take it. Let Him mold it. Let Him shape it. And you will see the end result. It's not going to look like what you thought it would look like. It's changed. It's the plan will come to pass. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. You're going to begin to speak right now, Father. I want y'all to clear your hearts and ask the Lord, what are You telling me right now? Where are You leading me? Where are You guiding me? What do You want me to do? Is there a step I need to step? Some of you just have to stay still. Some of you got to let go and let God. So cheesy, but it's so true. Some of you are going to have to do something. But God's going to begin to speak to your hearts right now. I thank You, Father, for giving us direction. I thank You that some of us are looking at a valley of dry bones and saying, can these bones live? Of course, the answer is yes. But God, we give it to You. I thank You for healing in our bodies, healing in our mind, healing in our hearts, and direction. And so clear, Father. So clear. We thank You. Father, I thank You. If you're in this place and you say, Pastor, the Lord has spoken to my heart. He's given me direction. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you this morning. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Father, I thank You for these people who have heard from You, who You're moving upon their heart, showing them direction that they need to take. God, some of them You've told to stay still. Some of them You've told to do something. God, give us the ability, the strength, and the Holy Spirit. May we hear His voice so loud, so clear, that we would know to do when it's time to do and stand still when it's time to stand still. God, we thank You, that it's You who fight our battles. They will have mercy and grace. They will grow to a level like never before. I thank You, Father, for moving upon this congregation. Whether we feel it or whether we don't, it doesn't change the fact that You are moving. We thank You that You have a plan and a destiny for our life. And it will come to pass. Ha ha. No more sweat. No more tears. We give it to You, Father. Help us to be heavenly minded. Help us to live for the kingdom. Father, if our desires are not Your desires, let us see clearly that we be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend and change what needs to be changed. And that we would take on new desires, and those desires would be Yours. God, flood Your love into our hearts. We thank You, Lord. We thank You. We recognize that You are moving. Father, I thank You.
I feel this by the Spirit of the Lord this year. Some of you are going to notice the only thing that's changed is what you're expecting and what you're seeing. It will fall into line. But what you're focused on has changed. God, change our focus. If our focus is out of line, change our focus. We thank you. Father, help us to focus on your word. Help us to focus on you. Help us to focus on your promises. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. God is good and his mercy endures forever. Whew. How many of you feel like you got something? Don't patty cake. My goodness. If you're going to clap, clap. I believe this is going to be a point in our life where we say this is where things changed. And yes, Pastor Reno.
Well, today is Miss Jessie's birthday, so we would like to celebrate her with flowers because she does not like balloons.
That is very true. She does not like balloons, but I always like to get her at least one. Because I like balloons. Absolutely. Pastor Rena, why don't you lead us in a prayer this morning?
So she is 25, and she'll stay 25 forever. All right.
Father, we ask forgiveness.
All right, let's stretch our arms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Father, we thank you.
Father, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father God. Every seed that she has planted, she will see that it will grow in Jesus' mighty name, and it will multiply in Jesus' name. Everything that she has sown, it will come to fulfillment.
God,
thank you, Father God. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fullness of God in Jesus' mighty name. That she'll be established and grounded, Lord Jesus, that she settle in that love. Settle in that love, Lord. Establish in that love. In Jesus' name.
We thank you.
We thank you for her. We bless you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I get them more than anybody does. I'm so thankful for my wife and, you know, in all that we've gone through and all that we've been through in the last couple years. And, oh my God, I can't imagine where I would be today if I didn't have someone that stood beside me and pointed out the good when all I could see was trouble, when all I could see was destruction. It means the world to me. And I wouldn't want to do life with anyone else. Well, as I have a message where we forgot, I didn't forget, it's the offering time. Ushers, you can go ahead and pass out the offering envelopes. If you're going to give this morning, if you're giving by check, you can write it out to our church. If you're giving by credit card or debit card, they're going to throw all the information up there. You know, like I was telling you in the sermon, my daughter asked, how long do we have to
How long are we going to give? How long do I have to keep tithing? How long do I have to keep giving to the church? Which I think is a legitimate question. It is a legitimate question. But we read this scripture this morning. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We're going to continue to give because it's good, acceptable. It is the perfect will of God. And you know, I was explaining to my daughter that the gospel is free, but it costs money to keep orphanages running and the Bible printed and pastors and evangelists and missionaries going across the world. And so it took her a moment. She's like, so we have to pay for that? I'm like, yeah, we do. We do. And I said, but if we just do the will of God, and he's told us to tithe, and he's told us to give, and if we follow and we give out of our heart, out of the goodness of our heart, as we purpose in our own heart to give. And she said, well, can I purpose a tithe? I'm like, nope, tithe is tithe. No matter how you die, you know, the definition doesn't change. But as you give, you can purpose in your own heart. And I said, as we do that, the kingdom of God will be taken care of and it will expand across this world. And she said, so we have to pay for that? I said, baby, look, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on the wrong thing. The focus is the kingdom of God. And she's like, so when we give, God gives back. I'm like, yeah. But you're still, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Don't get me wrong. It's wonderful. But we give because it's right. There's some things we do that, yes, the benefit is great, but we do it because it's good. It's because it's right. And I just mentioned this to her. I said, do you think that there are times that you do something that maybe I have to say to myself, I love this child? And I'm like, I will always love you, baby. Not because you do what's right, because I will. And it is good for me to love you. It is good. And it will always be there. And you can be confident that no matter what happens in your life, I will love you. And it will never stop. It will never stop. And I don't know if she completely got it, but she's 8. She has time. But we give because it's good. It's acceptable. It is the will of God. And as we do so, we live kingdom-minded. We live for more than just ourselves. I love when it works out where we can be kingdom-minded and everything go right for ourselves and everything can go great. But there are times, it doesn't matter if our side's going good or not, we're going to be faithful and we're going to do what is good. Let's pray over our offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for an opportunity to give. I thank you that you have blessed us, that you are causing us to become more overcomers. And Lord, help us to see your plan clearly. I just keep going back to the scripture. We lean not into our own understanding, but we do acknowledge you. And God, you will continue to direct our path in every area, finances, spiritually, in our household, with our kids, with our husband, with our wife, in every area of our lives, businesses, everything. You will direct our path. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody says, amen. Our ushers are at the back. As you leave, you can give. Pastor Tim and Nadine Norland, they're here and they're going to pray for you. If you have any prayer request, see them and they'll lay hands on you, cast out the devils, heal the sick. They'll do it all. Oh, and if you have any questions about the life group, make sure you see Tina and Andy. God bless you. We'll see you next week.